Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people of Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people of Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict me no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle comes from Romans chapter 16. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, you have to admit, the story we just read is a little over the top. An angel appearing, a pregnant virgin. Is it true? Acclaimed Spanish novelist Carlos Ruiz Zaytron wrote this recently. "Religion is really a moral code that's expressed through legends and myths or any type of literary device in order to establish a system of beliefs, values, and rules with which to regulate a culture or a society. So we have this story of the angel Gabriel coming to a girl named Mary, a girl probably about 14 years old. And the angel tells her that she's going to have a baby, a little baby boy. This despite the fact that she's a virgin. The angel even tells her what to name him, Jesus. Is that account factual? Or a myth? Is it just a well-preserved legend? The record of the interaction between the angel Gabriel and Mary certainly does seem unlikely at best. So does the story seek to establish some kind of moral code, as Carlos Ruiz Zayton would suggest? Is that its purpose? Does it introduce new rules with which to regulate a culture or society? You know, 30 years after this encounter between Gabriel and Mary, Jesus was in the midst of his public ministry. And over again, he had to defend himself from the religious authorities who accused him of not establishing a moral code. They accused him of dismantling the moral code, dismantling morality by forgiving people. But Jesus emphatically pointed out, I have not come to abolish the law or the word of the prophets. I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets. Fulfill the law by keeping it. And in retrospect, it's clear that Jesus did not establish a new moral code or a new set of laws. He simply kept the law that God had already given his people. The law that none of us ever have or ever will be able to keep. And by keeping God's law, Jesus established the fact that he alone is righteous. And now he's imputed his righteousness to you. He's bestowed his righteousness upon you. He's declared you righteous, despite all the contrary evidence. Sorry, but it's true. Despite all your continued sin and mine. So Jesus didn't come to establish a moral code. He came to keep the existing moral code for the benefit of you who do not and cannot keep it yourself. And that includes all of us. In fact, take a look at one of the most blatant encounters with immorality in the life of Jesus. As Jesus stood in the courtyard of the temple in Jerusalem, a woman caught in the very act of adultery was dragged in front of him as he and his followers stood there. She was most likely completely naked and sobbing uncontrollably. And she was surrounded by men intent upon a gruesome public execution right then and there. And while they were at it, seeing an opportunity to discredit Jesus, they asked him, "Teacher, our law says women like this should be stoned to death. What do you say?" She was guilty. No question. And Jesus didn't dispute it. Nor did he argue against the severity of the punishment. He simply paused and said, "Whoever is without sin, throw the first stone." And slowly her accusers walked away. And Jesus said to the woman, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Jesus didn't establish a new moral code. He didn't abolish the law. He simply forgave those unworthy of forgiveness. He forgave those we would never forgive. And now Jesus even forgives you. So how is it that Jesus, who forgives so freely and was able to keep the law that we cannot keep, how is it that he does that? How is Jesus able to do what we cannot do? Well, the angel Gabriel tells us right here in the text, right here in the words he spoke to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Somehow, some way, Jesus is both man and God. The God who created us has now invaded us and come to live among us to experience our joy and our sadness and our temptation. And primarily, he's come to do what we cannot do. And that's live without sin or failure. The great reformer John Calvin said our situation would have been hopeless had not the Son of God descended upon us. You know, I mentioned that this novelist who has a lot to say about this, Carlos Ruiz Zaytan, suggested that this whole story of the birth of Jesus was a legend or a myth, just a literary device. But theologian Rod Rosenblatt points out that there's a difference between myth and history. Myth takes place always and never and everywhere, in a time once long ago, in a place far, far away. In other words, myth is not datable. You can't pinpoint the location. That's the opposite of the account we have of the birth of Jesus, who was born when Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome at the time of the first census. Augustus was crowned in the year 27 BC. He conducted his first census at the end of that century. Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem to participate in that census because Joseph was a descendant of King David, and Bethlehem is the city of David. That's consistent with the prophecy that we just read from 2 Samuel, that the Messiah would be born into the family of David. The account of the birth of Jesus can be checked out, verified, and dated. It happened in real time, in a real place, to real people. In fact, there is no better record in all of antiquity than the record of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing even close. All of that to say, this morning of Christmas Eve 2017, you can be absolutely confident that 2,000 years ago, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, a child was born to a virgin named Mary, a baby boy whose name was Jesus. He grew up to die on a Roman cross, crucified as an atoning sacrifice to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. He was perfect because we are imperfect. He was without sin because we are sinful. He was obedient because we are rebellious. And his perfection and sinlessness and obedience has been credited to you. You've been wrapped in the robes of his righteousness, washed clean in his blood, the blood of the Lamb. Despite your struggles and your failures, you can be at peace because you are forgiven
and loved and redeemed by God. Merry Christmas. And amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Christmas Eve morning when there's all kinds of stuff going on, Lord, please don't let this get past us of what you have done for us. Lord, cause it to fill us with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.